ARVN.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield and welcome back to Commodity Classic, which continues through tomorrow here in Houston. And a lot of things in these markets that we're going to look at. Really don't know what path it's going to lead us down today as we look at this trade. And of course, we do know that there were some factors that are going in. We're going to talk a little bit about quarterly stocks. We'll talk about some acreage debate. We have a listener who wants to know what the March market feel is for grains. We're going to look at that and a whole lot more as we're going to be joined, of course, by Jim McCormick. We're agmarket.net. And I'm going to put a quick plug in that Jim is going to be joining us later for the weekend report, which folks can check out on our social media platforms with a video from the trade show floor. But let's kind of talk about the fact that you guys are here at Commodity Classic. You're getting the chance to talk to not only clientele, but potential clientele. What's been the feel? What have they been sharing with you as they look at these markets? Is there regret for not selling when they should have? Is there what's going on?
I don't know if regret's the right word to use, but no doubt about it, it's very, very frustrating. I think if there's one thing I would take out of talking to people, we've talked to people from Canada, Texas, you know, all the way, you know, all through the plains, all the way to the East Coast, talked to some bankers on the East Coast, the same theme. Not enough grain was sold. The farmers are just carrying, unfortunately, way too much grain with the current prices. I do think that extra grain that was being carried, Susan, was part of the reason why we saw pressure here at the latter part of February. A lot of producers did basis contracts. Some did them in December, others did them in March. The December guys, they rolled them out to March at a 25-cent carry. Then they came into first notice day here at the end of this week. And if they had to make a decision, do they roll it again and build that? So be, instead of 25 under the March, it would build to, you know, 40 under the May. They had to make that decision or price it out. And we know earlier in the week, corn got below $4. And that was essentially the farmer puking it out. Now, I'm a little bit optimistic that now that we're through that pressure of having to make that decision, hopefully that's a sign that we could at least get some of a temporary bounce as we kind of talk acres and quarterly grain stock. That's a huge report here at the end of the month of March.
All right, let's talk about that report since you brought it up. What are you looking at?
Right now on the acres, it's going to be really interesting. The Outlook Forum said, hey, we're going to have 3 million less acres of corn. We're going to have 3 million more acres of beans than a year ago. But in the meantime, the cotton market really has caught fire. There's no doubt about it. So our belief is maybe we're going to lose 3 million acres of corn, pick up only 2 million acres of beans, and maybe pick up at least 1 million acres of cotton. But that could continue to change as we go into the springtime, because that's the other thing talking to producers. There is some acres in flux. Now, I do want to make note, it is going to be interesting on these corn acres when it's all said and done because of how last fall played out. Remember, the prices are still relatively good, corn over $5. The price of fertilizer had really dropped by a lot. And then on top of it, we had just a fabulous fall do field work, if anybody remembers. So the combination of it probably brought extra fertilizer on than normal. So a lot of those acres are set. But I also want to make a note, one, we had several people in Missouri, up from Missouri, telling us anhydrous is going on right now as we speak today.
That's a kind of an interesting tone as we move closer to when spring planting will get started.
It does. I mean, if you're getting the fertilizer in now, obviously no one's planting corn right now or beans or anything like that, but we are going to be ready to go. And it does feel like it is going to be an early spring. We're down here in Houston, as you said, and we're talking about the weather. It wasn't maybe as hot as what we think. I mean, I think Chicago, where I'm from, was actually warmer earlier in the week than what it is right now. But there is no doubt about it. It definitely is an El Nino winter, which seems like it's going to bring an El Nino spring, and it really feels like it's going to be an early spring. And right now, we're a little bit dry, so we could see a lot of dirt get turned quick.
Unless Mother Nature changes her mind and brings those late March, early April rains that some are talking about.
That's what some are doing. The other thing, we got to look at the cold. I mean, my wife and I were talking about it. Like, when we get these warm days, are we going to start seeing flowers bud earlier than normal, then catch a cold snap and, you know, do a lot of damage to the fruit trees? One other thing we're looking at is some of the weather guys out there. They are starting to hint that we are seeing this El Nino dissipate fast, moving to La Nina. If that would happen, Susan, that brings the risk of a little bit drier and a little bit warmer weather more into the Western Corn Belt, but that could be the thing that really gets this market, ignites this market into the summertime.
Which is interesting that you bring that up, because as we watched the drought monitor that was released yesterday, it was nice to see a heck of a lot less browns on there and more yellows and generalized colors. But Western Corn Belt, that's the last thing they need is another drought or drier temperatures to head their way.
Exactly. I mean, you said the drought moderate is shrinking, but Iowa, it is still very bone dry. And a lot of clients here at Classic are mentioning just how dry it is. Now, we know spring rains could change the whole dynamic, and we'll see what happens. I mean, if you know how the weather played out last year, it was very, very confusing how dry we got in June. Then we turned wet in July. There's a question about how much all that Canadian wildfire smoke, what effect did that have on the crop? Some people think that might have insulated the crop a little bit. So we'll see what plays out right now. But one thing we got to be cognizant of is if without a major weather problem, the carryouts are still a little bit negative. So our argument is weather rallies, at least early in the season, is probably our opportunities to make up some of those catch-up sales we were talking about on bushels that have not been marketed.
Everybody wants to grab a hold of any sort of weather talk in these market trades.
There's no doubt about it. And like I said, we're looking at the weather. Like I said, some of these guys are saying it. Other weather forecasters we talk to say, look, we'll be honest, we're just a little bit too early to kind of make that call. It will depend on how quick. That the real thing I'm hearing is how quick do we transition from El Nino to La Nina? That is what you want to listen for when you listen to your weather forecasters this upcoming spring.
Before we head to break, weather obviously continues to be a talk for South America.
It does. There's a debate on the size of that crop. I know it's getting a little bit smaller, that Brazilian crop, that is. Keep an eye on it. If it gets below 150, you'll really get people certain, hey, this could be a problem. It gets below 145, 140, then it really, I think, would be one of those situations that maybe we could start seeing some demand, which we've been losing to the Brazilians because, plain and simple, they're cheaper than us. That'll tighten that spread, and that may be bring some of that demand back to the United States.
Well, folks, stick around. We've got a lot more on this Friday as we continue here with the Channel Final Bell from Commodity Classic. We do have somebody who's actually here at the Classic, had a question, is going to be listening to this. He said, as a podcast, wondering what that March feel is going to be like for these grains. We did kind of allude to it a little bit, but we'll talk more numbers coming up. Stick around. It is the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
Product placement is something we're proud of at the Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Here's Channel Seed Pro Grant Bailey from Norton, Kansas.
You get down to the small areas, you know, of where these products need to be placed and picked in, and I feel like that's been a very strong point of Channel is we have a good group of leadership that chooses the right products for the right area, not just a broad one-size-fits-all.
Rise to the challenge this season with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
KRVM.
Welcome back now to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Of course, we're continuing our conversation this afternoon with Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net. And you guys, we've been talking about the fact that you guys are here as well at Commodity Classic and having the conversations with folks. And a gentleman stopped me in the hallway and said, hey, I want to know what the March feel is. What are we going to see number-wise? And that's kind of a big open-ended question when it comes to these grain numbers. But you were kind of showing me some charts and looking at some things while we were waiting to start this program. So what is your takeaway for what we could see in March?
Well, it is a guess. It isn't us. I'm going to stress it is a guess. But, you know, right now I'm going to argue we're going to see a little bit of a shortcoming, a little bit of upward bias. Look at the December corn chart. To me, it looks like you're putting a little bit of a head and shoulder bottom in. If that is the case, we should hold today's lows coming out of the weekend. And it would project back up, you know, up another 20 cents up near the 480 price level. If you got up there, I would encourage producers probably do a little bit of marketing because you do have that all-important report at the end of the month. Same thing for beans. You could get a little bit of short covering. The big pressure why we could rally, I think, also is the funds. They are carrying, we'll get an updated report later on this afternoon, but they were carrying a record short position. Traditionally, when they're carrying that bigger position, they do not carry it that long, a couple weeks at max, and then they start to lighten up. If the market is losing its downward momentum, they've got all this money tied up, they've got a lot of profits, they tend to book that profit, book it, they got to buy their shorts back out, and that rallies it, combined with, like I was mentioning in the first segment, the producer who had to sell grain, he was feeling the pressure, he did. I believe the producer who did not sell the grain, and he managed to hold on through this February debacle, probably for lack of a better word, I think, you know, he's going to try to hold on and wait and see how the spring weather plays out. As we were mentioning, the weather is still going to be critical. Even, you know, keep an eye on what's going on in Brazil. The crop in Brazil is getting a little bit smaller on the beans. That could generate a short covering in the beans. On the corn side of the equation, they're still just finishing up planting that safrinha crop. That's critical because of what's going on in their monsoon season. We have no idea how long that's going to last, but if that monsoon season would start to shrink or shut off earlier, then that corn crop runs out of water. That'll generate a short covering rally. Both of those could help pull the corn market up. Beans, maybe a little bit less tricky. Wheat's kind of the wild card right now. I mean, the wheat, one day it's up, one day it's down. We saw the wheat market rally earlier on President Zelensky in the Ukraine saying, hey, look, if I don't get any more weapons, we're not going to keep this grain corridor open. The market reacted to it. And then today we're under pressure because the reality is both the Ukrainians and the Russians keep lowering their prices. They've got wheat to sell. They got wars to fund. So they're just dumping prices under the world market. And that's keeping that's capping rallies at the moment. But, you know, like I said, if for some reason that grain corridor gets shut down, that could be a game changer, not just for wheat, but for corn as well. Because the fact of the matter is, it's amazing how much grain is getting out of that country in the middle of a war.
No, since we're talking about grain movement and Soy Transportation Coalition folks were here and they were just talking about not putting all our eggs in one basket when it comes to, example, shipping grain down the Mississippi. We need to look at others like Houston here where they've got a port. We need to have other options as we don't know what weather's going to bring. And, you know, we saw the war issues and how that's been affecting some of those.
Well, no doubt about it. We had that river level, you know, and it does seem like the weather is definitely changing. I mean, we're having 100-year droughts, 100-year rainfalls. It seems like every year in some portion of the country. To diversify it, what's going to be the other thing we do need to really diversify. Now, we did not get anything from the government we're looking for, but we really need to diversify away from exports and counting on China primarily to buy the product, because the fact of the matter is we produce more than we consume in the United States. What I mean by that is we got to go all in on this renewable fuels. The biodiesel, renewable diesel, that is going really, really well, in my opinion. The plants are being built out. It's going to take a few more years to really get to full capacity, but that is going to help relieve some of the lack of exports that we're losing to the Brazilians. We do have a problem with meal because we're actually going to have too much meal per se, but overall, that's a very good situation. Now we got to deal with the corn situation. You know, we know time's coming. The reality is electric cars are here, and they're going to continue to grow in demand as we turn the cycle of cars over in the next 20 years. So we're going to have to find another use for ethanol. We found it. It's that SAF. The problem now is trying to get it into the system. And if there's a will, there's a way. Look how ethanol took off. It was somewhat around, and then George Bush made a huge push for ethanol. The plants got built. The corn market responded. If we can get this SAF figured out, and it's going to take some time. It's going to take some complications. I mean, because it's kind of a chicken and the egg. You know, you're building SAF to keep carbon out of the air when the jets do it. The problem is to make ethanol into that, you put a lot of carbon in the air from these plants. So that's where the balance is going to come in, is try to get that carbon neutral number down to make it work so everyone's happy. But I think they will get there when there's a will, there's a way, and that'll be very bullish to the market when it does happen.
All right, best way for folks to get a hold of you guys.
Best way, go to agmarket.net, sign up for our research. We also have a new app coming out. It is actually, I'd say it's an update of our app. We're very excited about it. Come sign up for it, and you'll get some information about it.
All right, that is today's Channel Final Bell from Commodity Classic. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable for all investors. That's a Channel Final Bell brought to you by Channel Seed and the Channel Seed Professional right here on the Rural Radio Network.